And we're going to now have a very, very brief summary, an echo, if you will, of the talk that had been given, just so that maybe a central point can be given to us as a reminder for each one of these services that we had the privilege of hearing. And so we're going to, because we only have really only 22 minutes to do everything, including sing God Be With You Till We Meet Again, we're going to, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, we have 10 different items to have very brief. We're going to say, brethren, your maximum time for the echo will be a minute and a half. So, and it's a real skill to be able to summarize well within a minute and a half and to bring forth your key points. And so there'll be a roving mic. I believe there's a mic around. Brother Morris, you have the mic? Okay, there's a mic there. And we're just going to go in the order of the program and have an echo of the lesson, really, of each. Yes, Brother Morris, do you have a point to make?
You mentioned the meal, but
also oh, yes, I was going to mention that, but I'll do that now if you like. Yeah. Okay, yes, lunch, soup and sandwich, plus greens and dessert right after the echo service at 12:30. So so don't leave because you want to eat differently. So there's the lunch to be provided. So, brethren, our first service was with Brother Wayne, the origin of the mystery. The origin of the mystery. So, Brother Wayne, if you could just give us what you would like us to go home with that talk, a central key point.
Well, Brother Greg, I think it would be hard to, without bringing in the second part, but I'll cover that later, just to mention that it was essentially to bring forward a continuation in the things of this world, showing how history has unfolded, particularly in this the second dispensation, and basically showing how shortly after the flood under Nimrod and his wife and his father, they took the whole world sideways, both politically, socially, and religiously, and the beginning of how that brought about attitudes and structures and things in the earth that were really not good, that Satan was behind, and how it continued down and polluted and corrupted the Word of God and even humanity, taking them into deeper and deeper sin. And then, of course, part two was the wrap-up of that and its fulfillment down to our day in the Roman Catholic system.
Okay, thank you, Brother Wayne, for that. Mine was the second, so I guess I'll state that. And that talk was the nature of sin. And the motivation behind that was to really try to look at something regarding the psychology of sin and the consequences of the violation of conscience. And you know, sometimes we think of the story of Adam and Eve as almost like a story, and as if they were not really real people who had real things happen. And the very, very huge consequences of those events and with them, and how the violation of conscience really got going and started to impel this whole notion of sin and its developments. And with a weakened constitution and a weakened conscience, how one cannot serve God properly, and the fact that there would be an opportunity and a way to restore the conscience, as Paul talks about in Hebrews. So the restoration of conscience to serve the living God is central to that, and that, you know, it verifies very, very beautifully the fact of our need for a Savior, and that with the work of our Savior, we can have a renewed moral consciousness to serve the living God. So that was one of the key points there. In our next talk, brethren, was Brother George, and he spoke on signs that we are in the millennial age.
Well, there were many scriptures that were presented, and of course not all of them, time did not permit. Briefly, we noted that the time of the end began 75 years before our Lord's second presence, and it was in the time of the end, namely 1874, that Michael, our Lord, the Heavenly Father's representative, stood up. But as a result of him returning for the purpose of establishing the kingdom, the first part of his thousand-year presence is a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. And also it was pointed out that the millennial age is also called the Messianic Age, the Day of Judgment, the resurrection age, the restitution age, the reconciliation age, and so forth.
Okay, thank you very much, Brother George. Our next talk, which was on Sunday, the first talk on Sunday morning by Brother Edgar, was called, Are You Out of Your Mind? And Brother Edgar will give us the key point there to take home with us.
Well, the question was posed for a purpose, and the reason is the fact that there are those who believe that we are out of our minds, and fact that, yes, we are, that we are developing, we trust have the mind of Christ. And trying to point out that the article I read part of, pointing out that the Christian is a dead man on furlough, that we're living a borrowed time, and that is a time given us by the Heavenly Father to make our call and election sure. And then I tried to point out some of the things whereby that in our daily life, examining as far as the work we have to do for Him and our attitude toward it, and what motivates us, and the optimism that is necessary, and that we are individuals and members in particular of this body of Christ, and that we must listen and learn from what others tell us, and sometime be more ready to hear than to speak, and use our imagination, certainly, in that which is future to come, and also that which is present, in how that we can, in whatever way, maybe be able to come up with some new ways to be able to serve Him. And then the need of flexibility, that to be flexible, as the Apostle Paul was, and the persistence needed, that you're going forward and don't look back, and the fact that all of these are needed, a necessity in our daily lives.
Thank you, Brother Edgar. And then, of course, we had testimonies of the brethren, which you heard and appreciated after Brother Edgar's talk. Brother George led that testimony meeting. And then in the afternoon, yesterday, I gave my second talk, and that was on what is truth, and some of what was behind that was, of course, in approaching that topic, we know and love our Savior, and we know that He is the way, the truth, and the life. But from the point of view of the philosopher, if you will, I guess that was kind of the beginning of that talk. What is truth from an inquisitive point of view? And then really what we find is that truth must be connected to our Creator, and that without a Creator, without a God, then truth is somehow irrelevant if there's not intelligent perception and a moral approach to the idea of truth, and that morality and righteousness is truth, and the laws of the Creator are aspects of truth, physical laws, natural laws, and everything is constituted according to law, and including ourselves, and that perceiving those truths is a perception of truth, and our Savior is the means by which we can regain a proper perception and standing in the area of truth. And this is why He's the way, the truth, and the life, because without life, truth doesn't have an awful lot of meaning anymore. We need life to be able to benefit from all the concepts of truth. So our Savior's provided that basis for us, and now we have the hope of life and wondrous truths to unfold to us in the future. So that was the motivation behind that. And then we had Brother George gave his next discourse at 3 o'clock, and that discourse was All the Counsel of God. Brother George.
This is found in Acts, the 20th chapter, verse 27. It was pointed out that Paul taught there is one Almighty God, of whom are all things, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things. And as time permitted, some of the doctrines, we didn't have time to present all of the doctrines that Paul presented, But doctrines like the ransom, the sin offering, the high calling, the second presence of Christ, the covenants, and so forth. So Paul was faithful in giving to the elders at Ephesus and to us all the counsel of God.
Thank you, Brother George. Okay, and then after that, Brother Barry gave his discourse, and Brother Barry's topic was the love of God and his Son. Brother Barry, what would you like us to take home with on that topic?
I guess that the topic dealt with the relationship of the Father and his Son in regards to the establishment of the followers of Christ and bringing them into Christ as a part of the plan. And I much appreciated the fact that we could look that as to why Jesus loves his own, why although he has died for the whole race and for their redemption, but he is especially loving of those who are gathered here today, who've left the world to seek the presence of the Lord. And also we looked a bit at the hypocrisy of sin. We also realized that there's none so precious as the Lord's own, and we have to remember that in our fellowship with them, and that we should keep ourselves in the love of God, and also what shall we render unto the Lord. And we did appreciate help from the pastor. One of his sermons, which was, I believe, just give you the, yes, reprints 5724 onward. Very beautiful. Very his manner is not a lot of big words, but very touching words of the heart, and I do appreciate that impetus for me, and hope the brethren were blessed.
Thank you, Brother Barry. And then, of course, we certainly want to mention and have a very brief gem to take home on the discourse that was a part of the Vesper service on the glory of God. So if Brother Wayne could just give us his key point there for that, we'd appreciate that very much. And the mic, Brother, where's the mic? I lost. Oh, there's the mic there. Brother Wayne will give us that little synopsis on the glory of God.
Essentially, it was just to point out that the entire purpose of creation was for God to manifest forth his character, and his character, as we know, is love and goodness and righteousness and truth and light, and that was the purpose of it. And even though there is so much glory in all of the inanimate creation, over and above all of that, on the angelic realm and the human realm and the earthly realm, he created intelligent beings to be copies of himself in essence, and that the greatest blessing that we can receive, and also, as they say, imitation being the highest form of flattery, although we don't seek to flatter the Lord, but to imitate him, to worship him, that by fulfilling that part, by being copies of him, we have the greatest blessing within ourselves. And of course, then by living in accordance with that, spread that blessing to the rest of his creation, one to another, in glory to him, and as well to all of the lower creatures, and the plant life and everything that receives this great blessing, all of God's creation.
Thank you, Brother Wayne. Hang on to the mic, Brother Wayne, because you're going to be next again. So, Brother Wayne, on your second portion of your talk, which you gave on Mystery Babylon, baptized paganism.
Essentially, that was taking from the first part to show the first part was to show the beginning under Nimrod and Cush and Semiramis, and what began there in the world, and that it actually infiltrated all of the world, all of the world's religions, and of course that would affect it politically, socially, economically, on all levels, and how though eventually that became corrupted in its own way, I guess according to Satan's point of view, and then when the time came along for the gospel age and for the development of the body of Christ, Satan figured he had an opportunity now to to take that over, which is always his things, to take over the truths of God and the things of God and twist it to his own purpose and bring back what he would, I guess in his mind, would have considered the pure form of his particular religion and graft it in. And as we see that down through the ages, there's been various times where the Lord has reached out to humanity and brought them truth and light, and they rejected it. So he just then let them continue on in their own way in the darkness. And this was definitely one of those times. And how from Jeremiah, this baptized paganism in the Catholic Church became a golden cup in the Lord's hands, and he let the world drink deeply of it as they wanted to. And then also that at this end of the age, these things are not over. The adversary is still working. Human nature is still working on the same weaknesses. And some of the details might have changed, but ultimately this warfare between good and evil, between righteousness and unrighteousness, and Satan and our Lord is still continuing on, and we have to be still very much on our guard.
Thank you, Brother Wayne. And finally, Brother Edgar, if you could just give us just one or two thoughts on your last talk, just to, you know, tie the bow, if you will.
Well, I appreciated the opportunity to use that scripture, that theme text is a beautiful one. And to my mind, it is a perfect circle that you keep his words. The love of God is perfected in you, and hereby know we that we are in him, keeping his commandments, and it just goes right around in the circle, unbroken circle, if you will, and that impressed me very much. And to consider a little of the Apostle John, who wrote those words, and his writings in that first letter of John, and the realization of how many times he addressed they who would follow the Master as we, and we know, and how it went along with his Gospel of John, and especially that 15th chapter, and those things which he had heard from Christ and recorded. And then to consider it from a standpoint of a business, that we are in the Lord's business, and that these are things to examine on ourselves, that we may the better be able to be more profitable in our service to him and our walk in his footsteps and keeping his commandment and having the love of God perfected in us.
Thank you very much, Brother Edgar. Appreciate that very much. And finally, we have our young ones who have a song for us.